This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you by WGNRadio.com with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
This is Mason Vera Payne, live from the MVP Studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. Social media is a very intricate part of our society. However, what is the point of social media? Why is it so important to some, and how is it influencing society? Joining me to explain all of this is psychologist Dr. Anjula Maya Sinbas. Thank you for joining me, Dr. Sinbas.
Thanks for having me.
You know, for a lot of people, social media is a daily part of their life. Do you think that's bad?
Well, I think that social media, like anything else in life, is, you know, completely going to put an individual in the driver's seat. So it means, how do they use it? Is it something that's value creating, or is it just trapping away hours at a time? It can be utilized for amazing life enhancing activities and connection, but at the same time, you know, it can lead to other problems. So it's something I'd say proceed with caution, and, you know, nothing is inherently all bad or all good. It's how we use it.
I like that because, you know, in life, everything should be in moderation.
Absolutely, yeah. This, what Buddhists would call the middle way. So exactly what you're saying.
You know, when I was a kid, they used to say that video games and movies would warp the minds of our children, and, you know, they'll change the way they view the world in a really corrupt way. Why can't they say that about social media? Only because, you know, social media is a bit of like a snap in someone's life. It's not the whole thing.
Of course, again, it depends sort of which movies one is watching. Something like PBS or documentaries, again, those can be very eye-opening and educational. So much, like as a feminist, I'd say that so much of Hollywood and even Bollywood has been, you know, premised on this sort of damsel in distress, sort of false notions of romantic notions and ideas, and, you know, sort of rescue fantasy. And so a lot of people, you have, you know, generations growing up saying, wait, why did my marriage or relationship, why is it falling short? And then there's also something to be said about, you know, other visuals, like in terms of pornography and so on and so forth, unrealistic expectations. Having said that, you know, people do say that social media can corrupt. Again, it is what one is consuming. Like when we speak about food, we say, you know, you are what you eat. You're also what you consume. If you're constantly just reading about the latest, for example, celebrity gossip or, the usual how to orgasm 10 times in one night with a six-pack. I mean, that's all fun, but, you know, within limits. And sometimes we sort of overdose on those things. There's also this new sort of concept that President Trump has put across about fake media. And, you know, I do urge my clients and people in general to be very critically discerning on what they read. And, of course, it can affect the psyche. Even if you're reading real news, it is what you're sort of biased to, a confirmation bias. So you're sitting there reading only about the negative aspects, you know, whether it's Syria or what's going on in the Middle East, on and so forth. But the media, in a bid for sensationalism or to raise the number of hits or, you know, on television TRP, we don't, for example, we talk about, the plane that crashed, but we don't talk about, for example, the 10,000 planes that land safely every day, right? So it can, of course, make people feel more unsafe than they are. But in general, you know, in regards to your statement about, well, why do people base reality only on a snapshot? I would say that's not only social media. Like when I sit in therapy with clients, you know, put social media aside, like when they see a couple at a party or their next door neighbor, they are just comparing what they see, you know, as they wave hello in the morning, to their neighbor. Or they're just seeing what they see in a, you know, two-hour window of a party, but they have no idea what really is going on in that person's relationship or marriage, and yet they, you know, they base their sort of worth or value on these comparisons. Now, whether it's comparisons on social media or, you know, comparisons in real life, I would say the only person you need to compete with is yourself. And to quote Aristotle, be kind to everyone you meet, for you have no idea which battle they're fighting.
That's true. I mean, perception is a hell of a thing. You can really make it anything you want if you perceive it wrong.
That's right.
Do you think that people who show these signs of, I don't want to say it's a mental illness, but like if they kind of put all that negative thoughts into their head, can they give themselves like a mental illness? Like, or is it something that was already there and this type of perception kind of showed its ugly head, like, oh, there it is?
So see, that's also a great question. I mean, so you're basically asking, is it causation or correlation?
Right.
So far, like from, you know, the research I've read and the research that seems to be out there, it's not a causation, but there is a correlation where if there is an underlying disposition or, you know, predisposition rather, social media can exacerbate it. And there has been research done where, you know, people who are avid social media users actually become more depressed. You know, it is based on a lot of unreality. Like, you know, I sort of half-heartedly, I mean, I'm half joking, but I'm also serious. You know, people will post about the cruise that they took, you know, sort of around the world, but they purposely omit the fact that they were, you know, they had food poisoning half the time. So you are really basing it on, you know, just the half-truth in reality. And people then, the locus of control is, you know, something inside, there's something wrong with me, something flawed with me, I can't keep up, I don't have that perfect life, and they do get depressed as a result, yes, for sure. Also, that whole concept of addiction, which is, I think, will be the, you know, I predict it'll be the next thing, the one of the most rehabilitated things. You know, right now, quite often and commonly, people go to rehabilitation for drugs and alcohol, but the next thing will be for social media.
Do you think it's going to be just for internet usage too? Because sometimes, like, I have a pattern myself. I'll wake up in the morning and there's about 4 websites that I just go to immediately before I can do anything else. It's just something that you're familiar with, like it's your routine. I mean, does it have to be addictive though?
Well, so, you know, one way to see or to tease out if that is potentially an issue is, you know, you can divide sort of life into 4 quadrants. Social, work, relationships, pastimes, and hobbies. Is it interfering with those things? If it's not, then I think you have a pretty good grasp on it, and it's fine to have structure and routine, and, you know, you keep that in balance. But, you know, let's say you're on a plane or you're on holiday and, you know, you're sitting opposite your partner and you just really absolutely cannot focus on what they're saying if you don't see those websites. Or you start feeling extremely agitated on a plane where there is no Wi-Fi available. Or if for some reason your Wi-Fi is out at your home, you know, you really can't get to work on time because you have to check those websites. Then it starts interfering. So there are ways to tease out if it's, you know, just something you really like doing and a passion, or we're kind of going toward an addiction type of route.
Is there any chance that social media has like a good aspect to it? Because I'm sure there are people who are a bit of an introvert. They don't go out, and this is their form of socializing. Would that be okay?
Again, anything is not all good or all bad. And in so many ways, the internet and, you know, the social media has been a great boon and a great, great blessing. I mean, if we even speak, for example, you know, technologically wise, from a therapeutical standpoint, there are a lot of people that are in rural America or in other parts of the world where going to a hospital, having access to therapy or other doctors and such knowledge is, you know, it's literally impossible because of a transport issue or distance. And because of technology, they are actually able to communicate with skilled professionals. You know, teletherapy or sort of on Skype and such thing is available, and it has really helped alleviate mental health and other issues. And in terms of, you know, education and awareness and empowerment, the internet has been one of the greatest levelers, you know, because before it used to be a sort of certain social economic strata or demographic that would have access to the best schools, the best education, the best information. And as we know, knowledge is power. And now, it, you know, the technology and the media has been a great leveler where, you know, places like Stanford or MIT, for example, they offer free courses. So this is on the fingertips of many. And so as a result, you actually have, in many, many significant ways, a very empowered lay public, you know, which is one of the greatest things. So it has been a great connector, but, you know, like I said before, there are certain pitfalls, and you do want to be cognizant of the fact that, you know, not everything is legitimate, and you want to, like on the internet, and you want to proceed with caution and always be discerning. And I always give a rule of thumb, you know, trust but verify, and always remember that, you know, you have a golden, the golden rule is you have a digital footprint. Anything you sort of search or put out there, you can assume it'll always be out there.
With the pitfalls of social media, do you see any like prolonged problems people end up getting, like besides depression?
Well, I mean, you know, addiction is one of them as well. People actually, you know, they, when you're liking something or you're retweeting something or the amount of followers and things like that, it actually fires up the brain reward system like a drug hit. So you have, you know, chemical results or chemical firing that mimics a hit that you take. And then, you know, addiction can become quite a problem. So people actually show withdrawal symptoms when they're away from their phone. You know, it's like the first thing they have to check in the morning, the first thing they have to check at night. And, you know, besides other things like depression, you do have this unprecedented thing that parents have to deal with in this generation, which is, you know, social media bullying. And, you know, not that bullying has not existed at any point of time, but, you know, back in the day, sort of before the advent of social media, at worst, it was, you know, something derogatory or very hurtful written, maybe spray painted or something on the walls, you know, of the bathroom or something in the stall. But now, you know, things can spread, whether it's a prom proposal or, you know, a underage sex video, these things go viral. And they completely change the course of somebody's life. So, of course, cyberbullying, you know, there's been recent research that, you know, like trolling is most likely to be done by middle-aged white men with psychopathic tendencies. And this is not conducive to sort of a grassroots community congenial feel. So trolling, cyberbullying, and like I said again, we have a very highly sexualized media, especially in the West. And for young people, that gives a very unrealistic idea of what sex entails, what sex is like, pornography addiction. And, you know, just kind of the growing up too fast, right? You know, things on average have a developmental stage that's appropriate. And so the over-sexualization and such things are definitely things to think about and be concerned about, and areas we should look at ideating so we can find proactive solutions.
Do you think that social media platforms like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, like the actual company, should they be more responsible in how they allow that content to come out?
I mean, I personally, yes, I think so. And even professionally, you know, with great power comes great responsibility. And, you know, these companies cannot deny the fact of their, you know, overwhelming reach and influence. And there's no reason that shouldn't proactively and positively be funneled toward the greater good. And these companies, I mean, and there will be the argument, you know, dissenters might sit there and say that is not a company's purview, that, you know, they're there just to be a platform and it's free will. But, you know, again, one can argue even constitutional rights that, you know, you can't, yeah, of course you have freedom of speech, but you can't be using that to incite threats or hatred or, you know, sparking dissent and so on, you know, purposely and in a very, very grave way. So similarly, on these platforms, they have taken steps that I've applauded. I mean, at one point recently, Instagram had, you know, started something where if you feel like there's a post that seems the person posting is in danger of perhaps suicide or depressed, there's a button that you can press to report it. And, you know, similarly, Facebook is pretty stringent about taking things down fast and policing. They don't obviously have a perfect formula. There's a lot to be said about the fact that, for example, you know, why is one nipple legal and one nipple not? A man can be, you know, on Facebook with his shirt off, but a woman can't. It'll be flagged. So they've yet to sort of perfect their algorithm. But I do applaud the steps they're taking in the attempt, and we all have to start somewhere. And yes, I do believe that they have a responsibility, because the whole point of social media is to connect, is to share knowledge, and to empower and uplift one another. So, you know, this is naturally subsumed under that.
For those who are listening, and if you want to know more about Dr. Anjula Myasin-Bass, head over to her Twitter and Instagram, where it's at Anjula, which is A-N-J-H-U-L-A.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapayne.com. That's MasonVeraPaine.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.